It's good to see everyone here this evening. We're going to look tonight, beginning in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul has a long discussion about sin and the sin in his own life. And you might think, well, he was the great apostle Paul. How did he ever have a problem with sin? But all through his life he did. And part of who he was and understanding you and me is that he went through the same kind of struggles and problems and troubles that we had, because he was an apostle, did not shield him from the problem of temptation and sin and other things in his life. I think maybe sometimes people have the concept that if one was an apostle of Christ then, or some even think if you're a Christian now, you shouldn't have to worry about sin or temptation or anything like that. But something that's always there, as long as we have life, there'll be sin and temptation and problems that's going to arise. And Paul writes in chapter 7 of Romans about the problem and the battle within himself that he has with sin all the time of his life. And he says, for example, and as we begin reading in Romans chapter 7, we go back to verse 22. He says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh the law of sin." Now, as we're going to talk about in a few moments, the thought does not end when there's a chapter division there. It goes right into chapter 8, which we'll go into later. As I've said many times, Paul and the other biblical writers did not write their books and separated into chapters and verses. That came later on for a matter of convenience. But Paul here, the whole thought goes from chapter 7 into chapter 8. And so chapter 7, he says there in verses 22 and 23, there's this warfare within himself. Verse 22, "I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." So spirit, the spiritual inward part of himself, that wants to do the will of God. It delights in God and His will and God's law and God's service that He wants to do. He says, "I see another," verse 23, "see another law in my members." In other words, the physical desires and problems and troubles of life, those are always battling against Him, one against the other. Now, all of us have that same kind of battle that goes every day. He says, "warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." So he says, there's a battle in me every day of life. Even as the great apostle Paul, he had this battle to do right, not to do wrong, or to stay right with God in every way that he could. And again, we may have this temptation to look back and think of the prophets of the Old Testament, the apostles of the New Testament, and how they must not have had any problem with that. They were so good and righteous and spiritual, they wouldn't have had a problem with that. But all of them did, because they were like us, and like Paul is describing here. So his conclusion in this passage is, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" Now, if you go back and read some of the background on what Paul is saying there, sometimes the Romans, as they were sometimes a very cruel people, and sometimes their enemies, if they didn't kill their enemies, they would actually attach them by chains or something to a dead body, and that would be part of their punishment, that the dead body would be attached to them. They couldn't get away, and that's a symbolism Paul is using there. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? They would be familiar at the time of that practice that the Romans sometimes had as a punishment. So he says, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Well, we go on in verse 25. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh, the law of sin. So go back to verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Well, the answer, of course, is God through Jesus Christ. And we know that, we understand that, and Paul knew and understood that, but that did not take away the fact that he was being persecuted for the sake of Christ, because and the fact that he was also under temptation one way or another every day of life. I'm sure there was a lot of times when Paul was being persecuted that he wanted to call down the wrath of God upon the people. But he knew God had sent him to preach the gospel of Christ, not to destroy them. That was not his responsibility. That was God. That was God's judgment that would come at the appropriate time. And maybe sometimes we have the idea in mind, why don't we just take care of our enemy ourselves and not have any worry about it anymore? Well, God says, no, that's not the way it is. He says, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay. In other words, you be faithful to me, and I'll take care of your enemies. I'll take care of those things for you. So Paul says, a wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? We go back to chapter 6 in Romans. Romans 6 and 23. Paul basically has already answered the question once before, but he goes back to it again. But back in chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, for the wages of sin is death. He says in chapter 7, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? And the wages of that sin is death. That's what we deserve. That's what we earn when we sin against God and we stay in that condition. We've earned eternal death, eternal separation from God. That's what we earn. That's what we deserve. He says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The grace, the mercy of God gives us the privilege of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. There's nothing we can do in and of ourselves to be able to receive eternal life. God had to allow Christ to come to the earth to suffer and shed his blood and die on the cross for you and me so we could be forgiven. And whatever we do in the service of God, God will bless us in doing that, but that does not earn us salvation. Christ's blood earns our salvation for us. We simply submit and believe and obey. So Paul says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Christ will, and Christ gives us the opportunity. For as chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, the gracious gift, the merciful gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So Paul answers the question several times from chapter 7, verse 24. We look down at verse 25. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There's still a battle between good and evil, still a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Jesus, of course, said one time that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul had that same problem. Peter did. All of the apostles did. All the Christians in the first century, no matter how dedicated they were, had the same problem. Because it's not a problem of now or then. It's a problem of all mankind ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve gave in to temptation and sinned against God. It's been a problem ever since then. And it will until Christ comes again. And his enemies will be cast out, and those who are faithful will be taken home with him for all of eternity. So he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is the author of our salvation. Christ is the one that carried it out. He came to the earth. He suffered and died on the cross and shed his blood as the purchase price from our sin. And he died and went into the grave and came out on the third day. And he says, so then, with a mind, I myself serve the law of God. He says, the mind, the spirit, through that I want to do what's right and serve God. But he says, but with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. The flesh causes me to be tempted and fall into sin. That doesn't mean that there's part of us that can sin all we want and we still are going to be saved. No, it's not that way. We have to do the best that we can to overcome sin by the Spirit which God gives to you and me. When we believe and obey the gospel, we are forgiven of our sin. And we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to be a blessing to us every day we live. And so we have to understand it's spiritual service against the weakness of the flesh. By the grace and the mercy of God, we can overcome that weakness of the flesh because of what Christ did for us. Now, again, like I said, Paul didn't write this in chapters and verses, so he didn't divide the idea. It goes right into the next. He says, there is therefore, and that therefore refers back to what he's just said. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God, with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here's the answer to the problem. He says, therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If we are in Christ, we're not going to be condemned. Yes, we will fall into sin. We'll do wrong. We'll choose to do wrong, or we refuse sometimes to do right. And both those are sin against God. But if we're in Christ Jesus, as long as we're putting forth the effort to serve Him, and yes, we're going to fall short, but the grace of God will forgive. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If we are in Christ, we are forgiven. Every day we live, the blood of Christ cleanses us from sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. In other words, every day we live, we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. He says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We walk according to the Spirit, and in so doing, then we serve God, even though on occasion we're going to fall short. We're going to say things we shouldn't. We're going to do things we shouldn't. We're not going to do things we should, but He'll forgive if we're faithful to Him by His grace and mercy. So look then at verse 1. We walk after the Spirit. What does that mean? We'll turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, of course, being the writer there also. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. After talking about the works of the flesh. Works of the flesh, sure, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, all of those things that he lists there. And he says, those who practice those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But notice what verse 22 says. But here's the other side of it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay, that's the alternative to the idea of walking the ways of the world. Walk in the Spirit. And it's something we have to work at. We have to develop love and joy and peace and long-suffering, or patience, in other words. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It says, against such there is no law. In other words, the law of God does not condemn us for that, it rewards us for it. And he says there, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions thereof. Now, we still live in the flesh, so we still have the temptations of life, but we crucified that. That's left behind. And like in Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, and the life I now live, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And so Paul was trying to get us to understand the situation. He says, if we live by the Spirit, in the Spirit, or by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, every day we live, we're to walk according to the Spirit. Now, go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, part of that is the law of Moses, but part of that also is the law that says if we sin, we're going to be lost eternally. And the law of sin and death, that's the law. We sin, we're going to die. That's it. That's the law. But he says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We overcome sin, we overcome death because of Christ. For the law is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's the gospel which he has given to you and me. He has revealed it. He's brought it to us by his death, his burial, his resurrection. We go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul, when he first started his writing to the church of Rome, he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul could have suffered all kinds, and he did suffer all kinds of shameful things that were done to him because he was a servant of Christ. Before that, Paul no doubt was greatly ashamed of all that he did when he realized he was persecuting God's people and in arresting them, putting them in prison, and even having them put to death. But he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Even when he was in prison for preaching the gospel, he wasn't ashamed of that. It was in fact, it was a badge of honor, if you will. He was being persecuted for the cause of Christ. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, he says, I'm not ashamed of it, for it, the gospel, the good news, is the power of God for salvation. That's what brings us salvation. The gospel, the good news, the foundation of which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the foundation of everything else. He says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or to the Gentile, in other words. Now notice he is writing to the church at Rome. Now there were some Jews in the church of Rome, we know from what Paul says later. But primarily they were Gentiles in the church of Rome. So he says that the gospel is given not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. The law of Moses was taken out of the way. It was nailed to the cross, as Colossians chapter 2 says. But it was nailed to the cross so that we, all of us, Jew and Gentile alike, would be acceptable to Christ, to God through Christ. He says, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Now then in verse 17, for it is the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith unto faith. Righteousness of God is revealed from faith unto faith. Now, I've wondered about that passage, that idea sometimes. And I've kind of studied through it, and I've come to the conclusion that the first faith is talking about the initial faith that they had had before, whether it was the law of Moses or whatever faith or understanding they had of the true God. And I think, for example, go back to the book of Acts and with Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman military officer, and yet he worshiped the true God. He gave alms to the poor, and he helped people. He observed the Jewish time of prayer each day, but he was not yet in a right relationship with God. So he had faith, but it was not complete yet. So Paul is saying, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, from the foundation of that faith to a full and complete faith. As it is written, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. That's a quote from the Old Testament. Paul wanted us to understand that the gospel is the fulfillment of that idea. Faith is not something we just believe. That's the foundation of it. But we have to accept it and we have to act upon it. So it says the righteous, the just, shall live by faith. We are justified by the grace of God through Christ Jesus. And so he says then in chapter 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. What the law could not do. Now, you go back to the law of Moses. It was the right law of the people of Israel. God gave it. God gave the law of Moses from Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments was the foundation of it, but that was not the whole law. That was just the beginning of it. You read through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. You find what the whole law of God was that they lived under. And it was the right law for those people at that time. But always look forward to something more. All of the sacrifices, the blood sacrifices of bulls and goats and other things that were to be sacrificed to God, that simply look forward to the fulfillment, which was Christ himself. And so he says in verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law of Moses did not give forgiveness of sins. Even if they kept the law perfectly, which they could not, it could not ultimately give them forgiveness of the sin that they had already committed. Only the blood of Christ could do that, looking forward to that time. And he says, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be like us, to live a sinless life. And he says then, he condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, by our faith and our obedience to the gospel. The law of Moses could not give final forgiveness. Only Christ could do that. He condemned sin in the flesh by his death. He took the sin of all mankind upon himself. In 2 Corinthians, we are told that God laid upon him the sin. He made him to be sin for us, to take away our sin. And then it says there that he condemned sin in the flesh and by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We'll go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and sometimes called the great chapter on the resurrection. Paul begins this passage by saying, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, unless you be believed in vain. Notice it says, hold fast the word. This message of the word of God, we hold fast to that. We're not going to be lost. For I delivered to you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. God did that for you and me. And so we look at this in Romans chapter 8, and we go down now to verse 4. This is sort of the conclusion of the passage from about chapter 7, verse 22, to chapter 8 and verse 3. He says that, in other words, for this cause, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What is the righteous requirement of the law? We believe and obey Christ and obey the gospel. Romans chapter 6 says we're buried with him and raised to walk in newness of life because we render obedience to the gospel. It's not our righteousness, it's God's. But the righteous requirement requires we believe and obey him, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Think about that. The righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us when we believe and obey the gospel. That we become, according to the book of Galatians, the righteousness of God. Now, we don't think of ourselves in that way, but we are. Not because of us, but because of him. And he says then, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We're to do that every day we live. And God, by his grace, will save us eternally. I turn over to Titus chapter 3 for a moment. Titus chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writing there in Titus chapter 3 and beginning at verse 3. He says there, for we ourselves are also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of eternal life, and we're heirs of that blessing. But we have to believe him. We have to obey him. Every day we live, we have to make that decision to believe and to obey Christ. This evening, if you need to come, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.